Good evening. I'd like to call the April 2nd, 2013 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Ms. Pryor? Here. Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein? Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chuck?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsey?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne will be a few minutes late this evening. Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
With 13 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desk.
Thank you. I'd like to ask for an executive session to discuss a personnel issue and possible litigation after at the end of the regular meeting. We will do some reordering of things so that we bring the Public Safety Committee's report up to, before the County Administrator's report. So, all right. Before we start with public privilege of the floor, I have a few things, a little bit of housekeeping I want to talk about. We understand this is an extremely important and heartfelt issue on all sides, speaking about the SAFE Act, of course. We understand that there are strong feelings and people have put a lot of time into the advocacy that they've brought to us. We've already spent 5 hours in public comment, hearing from the public, in two public safety committee meetings as well as the legislature meeting last 2 weeks ago. If you're looking at the agenda, we have a lot of other business to do tonight, including, for example, a new issue that's not even on the agenda, which is trying to figure out how to deal with the effects of the sequestration and a very, very serious threat to operations of our Tompkins County Airport. So there's a new issue that's not even on the list that we will have to be spending some time on. So I I have a lot of names here. People were good last time on the three-minute limit. I would ask that, if you don't need all 3 minutes, don't use it. I will also say if you've already spoken to us once or twice or three times, we're just human, we might get a little cranky later. If something's already been said, we'd be grateful if we could move quickly to the point in the meeting when we can actually discuss the issues. I think that's what folks, as Chairman Robison of the Public Safety Committee meeting said on Wednesday. We've heard you, it's kind of time for us to do our work and discuss the issues and take a vote. With that in mind, I will call a few people at a time. I will also say that folks in the, we think we have the audio better in the other room, the overflow room, but I'm told that the noise last time made it very difficult for people to hear who was being called next, and I think that's a real problem because people missed their turns last time. So if we can keep that down, I think that will help. So I have first speaker is Donna Fleming, then Savante Myrick, then Ann Sullivan. Hang on. That mic there. Actually, I mean, that's fine, but the public is mostly going to speak in the back. Ann, you're fine. You're here. You're a city council member.
Ann's coming through.
Ann is there. Is Savante here? Okay, Savante is next if he's here. Jim?
One comment. Are we keeping it to 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
And strictly enforced, hopefully?
Yes, 3 minutes.
Okay,
Kathy
you.
Covert back here has the time cards. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm Donna Fleming. I represent the Third Ward of the City of Ithaca on the Ithaca Common Council. Our Common Council voted unanimously in favor of a resolution supporting the intention of the SAFE Act at our March meeting. There was some hesitation at Council regarding the means in which the SAFE Act had been passed by the New York State Assembly and by a few details of the SAFE Act. But at that meeting in March, I spoke and I remind, this is what I told them, and I think that it bears repeating here. That is, I reminded them in January of 2012, they voted 9-1, I voted against, the resolution supporting a constitutional amendment to abolish corporate personhood. Nobody on Common Council is a constitutional lawyer, and I do not believe that they had an extensive conversation about the history and the context of the concept of corporate personhood in the United States. But yet they all voted except me in favor of that. So this was my analogy is that this was an imperfect piece of legislation. They were expressing a sentiment in support of it. The SAFE Act, many people think, is not perfect, but it's a huge step in the right direction to support safety and promote rational attitudes towards the proliferation and the danger of guns in the United States. I also told the Common Council at the meeting in March that the National Rifle Association is an extremely well-funded, officially not-for-profit organization, but it's funded largely by gun manufacturers who, have an interest in promoting the use of guns.
1 minute, Donna.
Okie dokie. So already we are forgetting the tragedies of the Newton and Columbine massacres and others closer to home. We've read already in the national news that people are starting to show apathy and not take action. If the SAFE Act is repealed, we might not have another chance to do the right thing. So please vote to support the SAFE Act in the form closest to that passed by Common Council of the City of Ithaca, and then please move on to issues over which you have purview, such as those very important matters mentioned by Ms. Robertson just now in her introduction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Donna. Savante Myrick. Mayor Myrick. I wonder, Karen, do you know if people can hear in the other room? Okay, good. Okay. Ann Sullivan, then Wendy Wallet, and then Roberta Wallet. Okay, go to the microphone. Please tell us where you live. And
yeah,
by the way,
I got it all.
Ann, hold.
I am.
This is Ann. Wait.
You introduce me.
This isn't going to come off your time. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
If anybody has a written statement, you feel free to hand it in. Just give it to Mike or Dave in the front. And even if you don't want to speak, you can hand in a written statement.
I will email it to her tomorrow because it'll be easier for her. I am Ann Sullivan. I have lived and paid taxes in Tompkins County for over 30 years. My daughter and son-in-law also live in and pay taxes in Tompkins County. My grandson, Oscar, will be the third generation in my family to have the great honor of living in this area. I also was a librarian at TC3 for 30 years, where I had the pleasure of serving probably many of your children and perhaps some of you. I hope you remember me. I love you all. I stand with the Safe Gun Law. It received widespread bipartisan support in both the New York State Assembly and Senate. Governor Cuomo remains supported by a significant majority of New Yorkers. The law is making us safer even as I speak, as will the Stronger Gun Law, a bipartisan coalition of Connecticut Republicans and Democrats will enact very soon. The Safe Gun Law makes me proud to be a New Yorker. I understand that the gun lobby is doing everything it can to discredit the law and denigrate its supporters. But the days of its power to set gun policy are numbered. Gun ownership per household in America is in steady decline, down from 50% in the 1970s to around 34%, the lowest in decades. Only 3 to 4 million of the approximately 7 million gun owners in the United States belong to the NRA. Fewer young people are buying guns. The New York, Colorado, and Connecticut Safe Gun Acts will stand. Other sane legislation will follow. 30 years from now, when my grandson is a man, he and his friends will look back at the gun violence we tolerate in 2013 with baffled astonishment. I am a grandmother who is embarrassed that I never wrote to a legislator or congressman concerning gun control after the Binghamton and Watkins Glens massacres. The people lost then were my neighbors. You might have known some of them.
One minute.
Did not speak out. How can one dishonor the memory of the victims of Watkins Glen, Binghamton, Webster, and Herkimer by not supporting sensible gun legislation? How can you condemn a law that makes gun owners secure firearms if a troubled teenager in the house is depressed and suicidal? How can we, or you, our political representatives, on the very eve of the fourth anniversary of the Binghamton massacre, remember April 3rd, Friday, 4 years ago, when our hearts broke, not stand for sensible and constitutional gun restraints? By the way, I really thank you all from the bottom of my heart. No matter how you vote on this issue, I truly appreciate the energy you put into it, and I honor all your service.
Thank you, Ann. Wendy Wallet, then Roberta Wallet, then Tracy Marissa.
I'm Wendy Wallet. I live on Valley Road in Ithaca. I want to thank all of you for the time that you've been taking to consider this important issue. Rarely do I think of myself as a proud New Yorker, or at least proud of the leadership, of much of the leadership that we have in Albany. But when I saw the passage of that our leaders in Albany had the courage and the wisdom to pass the SAFE Act, I was relieved and I was proud. The SAFE Act is fair. It isn't perfect, but I know that some of the smaller problems with it have been rectified, and it will save lives. It could have gone farther. I would have liked to see it go farther, but it's a good start, and New York State is out in the front, along with Connecticut, in reacting to the gun violence that we've all seen recently and not so recently. Because of this act, first responders are safer on their jobs. Children and teachers are safer in their classrooms, and all of us will be safer on the streets and in public places and in our homes. So I ask you to please have the courage and the wisdom to pass a resolution tonight to support the New York State SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Roberta Wallet, Tracy Marissa, and Kate Bronfenbrenner.
I'm Roberta Wallet. I've lived for over 45 years in Tompkins County, and I am here to advocate for supporting the SAFE Act. I have noticed that a lot of the people who are railing against it seem to be operating from a place of misinformation on a lot of the issues. There was a letter in the Ithaca Journal last week, I think, which listed all the reasons to not support it. And as I read the letter and went from one issue to the next, they were all based on misinformation. And I urge you to not let the arguments based on misinformation and the emotions that go with it to sway you. Instead, what we need to be doing is hopefully getting out information and education to people so that they understand that they are not threatened, as some people seem to think they are. And thank you all for your incredible efforts to listen to people.
Thank you, Roberta. Tracy Marissa, then Kate Bronfenbrenner, then Jim Rundle. Can the back room hear me? Is Kate Bronfenbrenner? Oh, good. Okay, thanks.
I'm Tracy Marissa from Newfield. Several speakers at the meetings regarding the SAFE Act have referred to it as a good first step. Some of you legislators have said something similar. The SAFE Act and related measures, such as the ones in Colorado and the ones proposed by Senator Schumer at the federal level, is a good first step, all right. It's a good first step toward disarming the general population. I'm sure some of you would cheer if the general population were actually disarmed. Part of the population that would be disarmed, however, are women. About 3 weeks ago, a woman, a Liverpool Schools librarian, went to Great Northern Mall in Clay, not very far from here, one evening to pick up her 10-year-old daughter from a gymnastics class. On the way out to their car in the parking lot, they were attacked. The man killed the woman in front of her 10-year-old, then proceeded to rape the 10-year-old. The SAFE Act didn't protect them. The man didn't use a gun. He stabbed the woman multiple times. And maybe if that woman had been carrying, she would have been here today telling her own story instead of my having to tell it for her because she's been permanently silenced. Women shouldn't be told by condescending legislators who have forgotten that they work for the people, not the other way around, that they should use a rape whistle or should urinate on themselves to discourage an attacker. Women shouldn't be told by legislators who haven't the faintest idea what they're talking about that if they were carrying, they would be overwhelmed by an attacker anyway and their firearm taken from them. We're all such weak, helpless creatures.
1 minute.
That kind of thinking constitutes the real war on women. I absolutely believe in a woman's right to choose. The right to choose which model of Ruger to carry to defend herself and her family. There are many good reasons why the SAFE Act should be repealed, and the erosion of constitutionally protected rights is chief among them. I urge you to support Legislator McKenna's resolution to repeal, not amend, not revisit, but repeal the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Kate Bronfenbrenner, and then Svante Myrick is here, if you want to go to the back there. And then Jim Rundle.
My name is Kate Bronfenbrenner. I was born in Ithaca, New York, and have lived here most of my life. In 1977, I was the victim of a violent crime, an attempted strangulation. I stand before you today, severely disabled, permanently disabled, but alive because the man who tried to kill me did not have a gun. If there had been a gun in my house, I would be dead. If he had been carrying a gun, I'd be dead. I am very glad that the city of Seattle, where I was living at the time, had a gun law. I am very glad that he, as a young, mentally unstable man, did not have access to a gun. I do not want other women age 23 to be in the situation I was in and not survive. I survived because this young man did not have a gun. I am also the mother of a mentally ill young woman. She is lucky to have gotten very good care and is doing well now. But when she was hearing voices that told her to do horrible things to herself, and she would have done whatever those voices said, I am very glad that she did not have access to a gun, that she did not live in a home where there were guns lying around. I'm very glad that she didn't walk into a store where guns were easily available to anyone. I want a law that does not sell her guns. I want a law that makes it so no guns would be in a house that she lived in, much less a law that restricts them, makes sure they're locked up. I think guns should be required to be locked up in any home at all times. I believe that we need to make sure that there are no assault weapons, and this is a good first step. I believe that guns, I'm not trying to take away guns from people who use them for hunting and need guns for what guns should be used for, but there is no good reason for assault weapons. And the danger that someone who is mentally ill would get a hold of an assault weapon is so great in this country. And the danger that someone would come and the man who tried to kill me went to 6 women's homes that night, that he could have killed families along that street. Violent crime is real in this country. Making it more difficult to kill children, families, whole communities is the duty of every public official, and it should be the duty of every citizen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Savante, and then Jim Rundle and Fred Wilcox.
I'd like to speak 2 more times. good evening, everyone. I apologize for being late. I'm Savante Myrick. I'm the mayor of the city of Ithaca. I want to thank you for agreeing to talk about such a difficult and emotionally charged topic. I wanted to come because last month the city of Ithaca's common council passed a resolution 10-0 in favor of the SAFE Act. And I know that you're hearing, as we heard, a lot of very emotional arguments about gun control and about the nature of our rights versus the nature of our responsibilities. And I just wanted to, if I could, read to you some of the provisions, some of the reasons why I supported the SAFE Act and some of the reasons why council supported the SAFE Act. As you know, the impetus for the act was the murder of those 20 children who were found bullets ripped through their bodies underneath their teachers, many of their teachers, not even out of their 20s, who died trying to protect them. But since that moment, 4 months ago, 30 people have died from gunfire every day in this country. And they've died in cities, largely. So we in the city of Ithaca look forward to recognizing that we have a responsibility to uphold Second Amendment rights. We felt that we as a country, we as a state, weren't doing enough. So we liked the provision that increases sentences for gun crimes, including taking a gun on school property. We liked the provision that increases penalties for shooting first responders, called the Webster provision. We liked the provision that limited the state records law to protect handgun owners from being identified publicly, and this includes preventing them from having their names disclosed under the Freedom of Information Law.
1 more minute.
Thank you. The city of Ithaca likes further restrictions on assault weapons by defining them by a single feature, including flash suppressors or silencers or grenade launchers, as opposed to 2 features as required before. We support the provision making the unsafe storage of an assault weapon a misdemeanor. We support the provision requiring a therapist who believes a mental health patient made a credible threat to use a gun illegally to report the threat to a mental health director, would then have to report very serious threats to the criminal justice services. We support banning the internet sale of assault weapons. We support the provision that requires that stolen guns be reported within 24 hours, otherwise the owner would face a possible misdemeanor. You've heard and you'll continue to hear a lot of slippery slope arguments, a lot of straw man arguments about taking guns away from people or denying people the right to have their guns. But when you look at the provisions of this law, provision by provision, I think you'll see it is a law that was passed with the intention of keeping people safe while still respecting the rights of people to own guns, I think it struck the right balance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Svante. Jim Rundle, then Fred Wilcox, and then Diana Bryant.
Hello, my name is Jim Rundle. I live in Danby. I want to tell you what I've learned about the NRA's suppression of research and data collection on gun violence. And I'm not talking merely about their accusations against researchers whom they claim are biased. I'm talking about actually shutting down research on gun violence for 16 years. I want to tell you this for two reasons. First, it shows what happens when you let the NRA bully you. Second, it shows that one of your resolutions, the one that seems to be attempting a middle path, plays right into the hands of the NRA. In 1996, the NRA succeeded in getting Congress to cut $2.6 million from the budget of the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, the amount that it had allocated to gun violence research the previous year. And they wrote into the law funding the CDC that none of the funds could be used to advocate or promote gun control. Well, what if the results of a study did get used that way? What would happen? No one wanted to find out, and research came to a halt. The same thing happened at the National Institutes for Health, the NIH, and the result is that annual funds for research on gun violence dropped to $100,000 per year. In other words, more than 95% of government funding disappeared. Any public policy issue is informed by studies that come under attack as being biased or incompetent, etc. But what normally happens is that the research continues, and eventually things get settled. So, for example, we know that smoking causes lung cancer after all. Lead in house paint does cause brain damage in children. Seatbelts do save lives. But gun violence is different. Because of the power of the NRA, there's been very little research for 16 years. It is a disaster. We could have been learning during this time basic facts that could be extremely helpful in formulating policy. We lost that opportunity, and people have died as a result. The law is a good law. Nothing convinces me more of that than the New York State Sheriff's Association response to it. They criticize aspects of it, but the substantial points they make are these. First, that first responders need the protection of the new law. That's what the New York State Sheriffs say. Second, the law gives needed authority to courts or others who issue firearms permits to deny applications or to revoke permits already issued. Third, the law adds protections to ensure that weapons are safely and securely stored. And fourth, it creates new gun crimes which did not previously exist and will provide added tools for law enforcement to prosecute such crimes. That's the opinion of the New York State Sheriff Association. Please resolve to support the SAFE Act and do not urge criteria that will weaken it by opening it up to new attacks. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Can I turn this in? Sure. Thank you.
I've got Fred Wilcox, Diana Bryant, and then Rick Bryant.
Hi, my name is Fred Wilcox. Thanks for holding this hearing. I don't have anything probably new to say. You've heard it all before, except that my own story. I grew up in a very poor working class family in the Midwest. I had a gun when I was 10 years old. That was when I had my first gun. I went hunting with my dad. My dad was a gun safety, I don't want to say fanatic, but he was in World War II. He knew what guns can do to human beings, and he told me all about it. I've carried a gun twice. I carried a gun when I was in high school. I carried a gun after I lived in New York City for many years as a homeless person. When I got out of there, I was suffering from PTSD. And I thought everybody was carrying a gun, so I carried a gun. And I want to say that when I did that, I was completely paranoid. When I was carrying a gun, I believed that everybody had a gun. And if you have a gun, you have to be prepared to use the gun. You don't carry a gun around if you're not prepared to use it. So I decided at some point, I don't want to do this. Now, I don't understand the arguments against this act. I'm here to support the act, absolutely, totally, the SAFE Act, because people say, well, you pass the gun legislation or you're opposed to the gun, the people carrying assault rifles. That doesn't prove anything. Well, it doesn't disprove anything. If you pass this law, it might prove something. It might prove that we'll save two children in New York State. If we save one, that's enough. So why do we always argue that, as an NRA does, that any legislation you might pass to restrict access to AR-15 is not going to work. How do you know it's not going to work? If you don't pass the law, and if you don't enforce the law, and if you don't try it, it won't work. Again, I want to say I grew up hunting. My brother-in-law is an NRA member. He hunts. He has guns. He does not have an assault rifle in his house. He never would have an assault rifle in his house. My father was had a gun rack. He had pistols. He had shotguns. He had rifles. He would never have an automatic weapon in his house. When we went hunting, we didn't go with an AK-47 or an M-16 because it won't do you any good. If you shoot a rabbit, it'll just be a big blob in the snow. So you can't use those weapons to hunt, except people. You can use those weapons to hunt people. So I just want to say I support the SAFE Act, and I hope you do too. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. I have Diana Bryant, then Rick Bryant, then Anita Bellucci.
My name is Diana Bryant. I'm from Newfield. I'd like to say I've lived there most of my life, and I'm probably a seventh or eighth generation Tompkins County resident. First of all, I want to thank each of you that have taken the time to read all of the materials regarding this topic of the SAFE Act. I also thank you for the time spent listening to comments that have been made. In the last few weeks, many people have come before you regarding repealing the New York SAFE Act. Most want the law repealed. Some oppose the way it was enacted. Some don't like the content. There appear to be fewer that do not want it repealed. I have been at all county meetings that have taken place. I've listened intently to what people have had to say from both sides. I understand you feel you have heard it all, and the arguments tonight will shed no light or change any minds. I believe it comes back to one question. Do you like the way the bill was passed? The majority of the safety committee appeared not to like it, although one member spoke. They said they didn't like it, but that's the way they do it in Albany, to pass a law. With this attitude, we can expect more of the same. It is time to step up and have a spine. Take a stand against the way they do things in Albany. I implore you to ask the New York State government to repeal the law. I believe we all came forward knowing that even if everyone in the county came forward asking for repeal of the New York State government would not repeal, but I firmly believe we send a statement when we ask for what we want. The repeal of a law that has been pushed through with no thought or consideration, and does not make one person in New York State any safer.
1 minute.
When you pick up the resolutions before you, I ask that you pick up the one that was put forth from the Safety Committee, and I ask that you cross out the word re-examine and replace it with repeal, the only acceptable method to get Albany to take note that we are watching and holding them accountable is to stand with others in upstate New York and ask for repeal. This is not a left or right issue. It's not even a pro-gun or anti-gun issue. At this meeting tonight, you decide if you will stand with all of upstate New York and say we have had enough, and you will say repeal the law. Or you will support the law and how it was shoved through with no three-day wait or input from parties concerned. If you do not ask for repeal and instead give them suggestions on changes that need to happen, you are part of the problem. We will remember this, and I ask that you remember that as you vote on the resolutions this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Rick Bryant, then Anita Bellucci, then Jeff Weiss.
I don't want to take up your time because obviously my wife just talked in front of me, but I'm asking you to appeal this law. As far as it's not a good one, but I don't want to take any more time because there's, God only knows how many more people. So, thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Just trying to have a little lightness here. Okay, Anita Bellucci, Jeff Weiss, and then Todd Sadler.
I'm Anita Bellucci. I live in the town of Ithaca, and I would like to briefly say that I strongly support the SAFE Act. I hope you do not support repealing the act. And I hope that you won't get involved in the rhetoric about the Second Amendment. We all realize that it does not reject the Second Amendment. And I'd just like to say that this is a reasonable response to an out-of-control gun violence in our country. And to do nothing at this point would be a crime.
Thank you, Anita. Jeff Weiss, Todd Sadler, then Lori Konwinski.
Hi, I'm Jeff Weiss from the town of Ithaca, and I've spoken at previous meetings, and I'm not going to repeat what I said at those meetings. But I would like to make a couple of comments about the resolution the Public Safety Committee passed. First of all, I'm pleased that there was no support for the repeal of the act. Secondly, I was pleased that the resolution notes the bipartisan support of the state legislature and the recognition by the U.S. Supreme Court for state laws governing the sale and use of firearms. And third, I do feel it's reasonable to ask the state legislature to deal with the funding aspects of the SAFE Act. However, there are also a couple of things I was not so pleased with in the resolution. First, I believe there should be a direct statement of support for the SAFE Act. Secondly, the overwhelming positive aspects of the Act seem to be neglected in favor of emphasizing minor changes that could and perhaps should be made, and in fact are already being made in Albany. Third, I would suggest a direct statement of support with language suggesting revision and refinement that would strengthen the Act in place of the second resolve statement in the resolution. And fourth, I don't believe the SAFE Act should be singled out to somehow remedy the processes that do exist in Albany. References to public processes and public hearings as used in the resolution seem to suggest that the process of message of necessity was somehow used inappropriately in this case. In the past 10 years, from 2003 to 2012, the message of necessity was used 407 times to address issues from state budgets to rent control to statutes of limitation, to criminal possession of firearms, to off-track betting, to state pensions, and even to the controversial Redistricting Act of 2012. The processes of the state legislature should be addressed, but it needs to be done elsewhere. Nothing unusual, at least for Albany, was done to pass this legislation. So I support the legislation, this legislature, in supporting the SAFE Act, and hope that the public safety resolution will be amended to more directly state the support of this legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. I have Todd Sadler, Lori Konwinski, and then Henry Kramer.
Hi, I live in the city of Ithaca, and I have a friend who was killed with a gun. And if she was robbed with a knife, she'd be alive today, and she'd be here with me asking the county legislature to support the SAFE Act. By now, you've heard all the arguments for and against gun control, and it comes down to what are you going to do. You have several proposals before you, and a lot of people here giving you free advice. So I just ask you to remember that those of us here are not necessarily a representative sample of the whole county, so don't. Just count how many of us are here in support or against and vote that way. And I know you're not going to do that, but think of all the people out there that aren't here to speak today. I'm here to urge you to vote for one of the several resolutions which are clearly in support of the SAFE Act. And whatever you do, don't vote for the resolution to repeal it because, you know, this is something that has to be done while there's a little momentum, history shows. Remember the mass murder in Binghamton. Remember a few days ago a prosecutor and his wife in Texas were shot in their homes, probably with assault rifles. I bet they were gun owners. I bet they were NRA members, and that didn't save them. The gun lobby keeps lying to us and say, well, I'll be safer if more people own guns. But in the endless stream of gun murder stories I hear in the news, I'm waiting to hear one story where a gun-toting NRA member intervened and stopped a mass murder or rape or any kind of crime. The reality is that almost never really happens, while accidental injuries and deaths from guns are commonplace. So if anyone's here to oppose gun control because they think owning a gun is going to keep the government from committing crimes or violating the Constitution, I'd like to talk about that. I want to stop government crimes too, but guns are absolutely useless and counterproductive for that purpose. If you shoot anyone, the government is going to outshoot you and your neighbors are going to turn you in.
1 minute.
So let's put away the guns and start planning a practical, effective, nonviolent resistance to any crimes our government's committing. Vote for a resolution in support of the SAFE Act and in support of federal gun control legislation that can be shared with other municipalities before the next mass murder. Thanks.
Thank you, Todd. Laurie Konwinski, Henry Kramer, and then Matt Marsh.
Good evening. I am a resident and a property owner in Tompkins County, and I'm very glad that a previous speaker reminded you, and I just want to reiterate that tomorrow is the fourth anniversary of the killing in Binghamton, a murder of 13 people at the American Civic Association, in which the killer had 30 bullet magazines, firing 97 bullets in under 2 minutes. How many of us even remember that? How many of us even remember the things that happened a couple weeks ago in the news? I think Governor Cuomo seized on a moment, used the message of necessity, which has been used again and again in New York State politics, not just by this governor, but by previous governors, to try to address this crisis in America. We might not like that that happens, but let's at least recognize that something had to happen. Legislation again and again gets put off, people's memories again and again fade, and more children and women die. I urge you to support the SAFE Act, to pass a resolution in support of the SAFE Act, and I just want to say that as someone who works at an agency with an immigrant services program, this particularly touches me because it happened in Binghamton, an hour away. It could have happened here. It could have happened at my agency. So I urge you to support the SAFE Act and sane gun control. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Henry Kramer, then Matt Marsh, then Martin Kelly.
Good evening. Henry Kramer from the town of Dryden. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking your time. I know this issue has consumed a great deal of it. So what I'm here to do tonight is just to supplement my statement of March 27th, which I sent you in writing, and to be speak in support of Resolution 2013-36, introduced by Dave McKenna, to repeal the SAFE Act.
Henry, hold on 1 second. Folks, if you're going to have separate conversations, it'd really be helpful if you could go outside in the hallway.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think the legislature should apply what I call the smell test to the SAFE Act. Just what is the smell test? Well, the smell test is when you take a law and you flip it over to its opposite and you ask yourself, how would I react if that legislation was passed the other way? And I submit the SAFE Act does not meet the smell test. So let's suppose the legislature of a gun-favoring state passed an act that would require every non-felon, mentally sound adult citizen to own a semi-automatic weapon and to keep a stock of ammunition at hand. I understand they do that in Switzerland. Those who disagreed with the law and wanted not to own a gun could do so, provided every 5 years they passed a background check to show they had the necessary training to defend themselves and that they were mentally sound, which they might have to prove. No person could keep an ammunition clip in that state with less than 10 rounds. Those not wanting to have a gun would have to file for a permit at the sheriff's office and wait for clearance, take out liability insurance in case they got shot or mugged, and satisfy the government that they were fit not to own a gun. Outrageous? I would think so. But there you have it. That could happen in some of the other states of the Union. If you're a supporter of the SAFE Act, but find the smell test reverse legislation produced a feeling of violation, of impingement of your rights, of outrage, then you can appreciate the feelings of those who feel strongly about their Second Amendment constitutional rights. Think it can't happen? One Georgia town has adopted a gun ownership requirement that just happened within the last 48 hours. Remember, any majority you may have now may be temporary, and a reverse majority may prevail elsewhere at a later date. The smell test shows the dangers in a majority ramming their views down the throats of a substantial number of fellow citizens who disagree. By the way, I'm not a gun owner. I'm not a hunter. I don't even like guns. But I feel very strongly that the people who are opposed to this have rights, and those rights should be represented. New York State has impinged constitutional rights here, not merely legal ones. The act was passed overnight without being read and without public input. Law first, input later? That doesn't make a great deal of sense. And it serves primarily to punish and burden the law-abiding. No one can rationally expect those ready to commit crimes to pay attention to this act.
Henry, please finish up.
Very flawed law should not be tinkered with. As Mike Lane proposes, it should be repealed. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. Matt Marsh, Martin Kelly, then Tim Foote.
My name's Matt Marsh. I reside in Berkshire. For what it's worth, I've worked here 10 years, and I'm moving here in a month, so I will be voting in November. I got to say that our own sheriff here said to repeal the act. The New York State Sheriff's Association has said to repeal the act. And none of us here own these machine guns everybody speaks of, or these 30-round magazines, because they've been illegal for years. I got some pictures to go with this because we're going to have some gun education, since I'm assuming I'm not going to be able to get any of you to come to the gun range with any of us. There's a lot of people around here that seem to know nothing about guns, but they think they have the right to tell me how many bullets that I can have in my pistol to use for my protection. I'm actually a concealed carrier. I conceal carry twice a week around here. You wouldn't know that by looking at me. But I have been a victim of a crime. I've had somebody get in my car, tell me to drive to the middle of nowhere before. I've been circled in the Green Street parking garage at 1 a.m. by a gang of thugs. No joke, 10 of them. How do you think I fared? I'm still here. I didn't infringe on their lifestyle around here, and they shouldn't be infringing on mine. I'll just go right to the pictures. Here you got a Ruger 10/22. Top one, normal gun. Bottom one has a hole in the stock. If you own the bottom one now, you have an assault weapon. I'd love for somebody, including the mayor, to tell me what that hole has to do that makes that gun an assault weapon. A collapsible stock. My girlfriend's smaller than me. Likes the stock shorter for eye relief on the scope. If you collapse your stock now, if you even own this, it's an assault weapon. This is a grip you can put on your forearm. Makes it easier to hold instead of like this. If you have that, that makes it an assault weapon. Don't get scared, it's just a piece of plastic. This is that same 10/22 with a pistol grip. Instead of a normal stock, it just has a little grip on it. That grip makes this an assault weapon. You can't go buy this now. And that's the gun in the legal form. And all those pictures were this gun with something added to it that doesn't make it any more dangerous. An actual assault weapon has selective fire that turns it into a machine gun like you see on TV. None of us have these. They've been banned forever. Citizens have civilian versions which have these things I spoke of for added looks and comfort. One bullet per trigger pull, just like any gun on the market. A 10-round magazine is now called high capacity. I have 3 rounds. I'm supposed to remove three rounds from the gun I use to protect myself, and they expect the bad guy to remove 3 rounds. He's not going to remove 3 rounds. I'll be outgunned, and a gun that I could use any day of the week to protect any of you in here if need be. I guess guns may not be important to you, but they're important to us. If this government passed fracking in 10 minutes in the dark of night, banned gay marriage, or banned Priuses because their spoilers make them look fast, this whole place would have the entire city in here screaming for government to mind their own business. But stop forcing nonsense laws with no public input. But since it's about guns, some of you are gun experts and think that it's just fine. Just 2 days ago, someone in Ithaca was stabbed in the face with a fork. The forks make people fat, so this is now an assault weapon and should be banned.
Are your time is up.
The public has spoken, and so has all of upstate counties when they voted for resolutions. Please represent us and vote on repeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Martin Kelly, then Tim Foote and Ralph. It's hard to read. What?
Gonenberg,
okay, from Parkside Drive. Okay, Martin.
Good evening. I'm Martin Kelly. I'm a resident of the town of Ithaca, and I've been raising my family here for many years. According to the Tompkins County website, Dr. Sue Smelser, the Tompkins County Office of Mental Health Commissioner, reporting to the Tompkins County Health and Human Services Committee, regular meeting on February 12th, and I quote here, expressed concern with the recently passed New York State SAFE Act as it relates to mental health patients. She goes on to say, and sees that the law is another unfunded mandate that would require a great deal of manpower to administer in any credible manner. New York State these are my words now. New York State continues to cut mental health funding. So I ask you, as our elected officials, do you plan to budget for a great deal of manpower to support this, or we're just going to muddle along in an uncredible manner? I believe that the SAFE Act is seriously flawed and urge you to pass Resolution 2013-36 opposing the New York State Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement Act of 2013, which was submitted by Legislator McKenna. If a majority of you don't pass that, I strongly urge you to pass Resolution 4065, urging the New York State Legislature and Governor Cuomo to re-examine the New York SAFE Act using a careful and deliberate public process, which was submitted by Legislator Lane and amended by the Public Safety Committee on March 27th. We look forward to your support, and on Election Day, we will support those of you who have supported us. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Tim Foote, Conenberg, and then Betsy Darlington.
Good evening. I'm Tim Foote, and I am a resident of Tompkins County, born and raised here. I am here in support of the repeal of the SAFE Act. The way this was passed and some of the things that are going on in this country is the reason I'm here tonight, and I actually want to speak about something that's even larger than the Second Amendment. It's about God-given or natural law that retains the right of the individual over the state. It's about the Bill of Rights, the original Civil Rights Bill, and still the supreme law of the land today. It's never outdated, as it deals with the condition of the human heart, if not checked by law, always veers towards a desire to gain power, rule over the citizenry, and make them subjects rather than free individuals. If you read through the Bill of Rights, and I urge you to do so, you will notice that many of these rights that used to be considered automatic have already been compromised by both parties, I might add. It has been done over time like the frog in the pot. You know the old adage, how do you boil a frog? You put them in a pot of cold water and you slowly turn up the heat until it's too late. Regardless of party or political persuasion, I ask you to get a dictionary, because you'll need it for some of the words in the Bill of Rights, and read the Bill of Rights for yourself. Ask yourself if you want to retain these rights for yourself and family, because they are for you, not the government. In my opinion, the Bill of Rights is not and should not be a partisan issue divided by party line. We may not all agree on everything, but there are certain rights that always should be retained by the individual, and if we want to retain these rights for ourselves, they need to be retained for all, even those you might disagree with. We all need to be wary of those who would desire to hinder even one of these rights in order to win an argument or to make this nation in their image, regardless whether the population, the majority of the citizens, like it or not. I understand the desire to protect innocent people from gun violence. I want to do that myself. But taking the right away from those who are not the problem is not the answer. Criminals will get guns and 40-round magazines anyways. And in the Binghamton murders, the 30-round clip that was used was already illegal at the time. Remember that in the 20th century alone, hundreds of millions were killed by their own governments after guns were removed from the citizenry, and almost all gun control policies were pushed through as a result of a crisis. If the governor, president, or Michael Bloomberg desire to eliminate the Second Amendment, there is a legal way to do it, by amendment. Let them do it legally, not by illegal laws that conflict with the Bill of Rights or New York civil rights law. Finally, I want to reach out to you all from every walk of life and political persuasion with this question. When you see the infringements on the Bill of Rights thus far from both parties, the corruption from both parties, why would we trust anyone in either party with our very lives so much as to surrender our Second Amendment rights, other right for that matter? I'm almost done. In my opinion, no one deserves that much blind trust. I ask all of you that value freedom, regardless of party, to join me and jump out of the frog pot before it's too late. Let's together restore the Bill of Rights and the proper place and role of government in America and New York State once again.
Thank you, Tim. Ralph, would you mind spelling your last name so we can get it right?
C-R-O-N-E-N-B-E-R-G.
Thank you.
Okay. Ralph Cronenberg, Trumansburg. I've got a lot to say here, but I'm going to condense it. Quite frankly, I'd like to see this repealed. I don't even own a gun. I'm a military vet. My whole family's knee-deep in the military. Spent 21 years of my life growing up in the military. Every time we, between stations, we'd end up in Brooklyn. I've had a rifle up to my head, had a handgun up to my head, I've had an old-fashioned razor blade up to my neck. Hey, I'm still alive. But beyond all this, your problem is not the guns or gun ownership. Your problem is a moral problem. We have social decay in this country. Our lack of morals is what's causing what you see out there in violence. You never heard of somebody coming into a school back in the old days because the kids all carried guns. There's an article, Guns, Kids, and Critics. A man walked into a school, an elementary school. He went in there to shoot the teacher. Before he knew it, the kids were surrounding him with their handguns on the assailant, the supposedly assailant, and the assailant walked out. Nothing happened that day. These are 12 and 13-year-old kids that had handguns. Another thing, I am not an NRA member, and I hate being called or pushed into a thing that I'm being ruled by some kind of gun association. I'm not. I'm a human being. I have rights. And I don't need anybody, and not even this government, to tell me what to do. A little known fact, it's in history and it happened within the last 70 years. It's called the Battle of Athens. Now, all of you who think that tyranny can't happen in this country, it already has happened. It happened in August 2nd, 1946 in Tennessee. If it wasn't for a group of returning World War II veterans, a town there in Tennessee was taken over by a corrupt government that was stealing the elections, and it was run by a family that was corrupt itself, making sure it stayed in government power. But what happened is the town grabbed the guns and seized back the power of the people. This can happen today. It's already happened. Tyranny has already happened in this country, and I don't want to see it happen again. I just want to see this repealed. And one last statement. Judge Andrew Kozlowski in Slovenia, Slovakia.
Your time is up.
My excellent colleagues have forgotten these bitter lessons of history. The prospect of tyranny may not grab the headlines the way the vivid stories of gun crimes usually does.
Thank you, Ralph. Your time is up.
Let me just finish this last
statement. No, I'm sorry. Sir, I still have 25 more people.
Ma'am,
it's 6:30.
I see you let other people who were pro the SAFE Act walk all over the time.
I've already given you extra time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Betsy Darlington, then Carol Ornstein, and Bill Goodman. I'm sorry, folks. It's going to be a very long night, and we have to respect each other and have to respect the time limit. And I also would ask you to turn off your cell phones. That's been a request made. So in case anybody's forgotten, that would help us out too.
Okay. This is very short. I am proud of the New York State Legislature and Governor Cuomo for passing the SAFE Act. For months, all across the country, people have been mourning the 26 victims of gun violence in Sandy Hook. But how many places have actually done anything about it? Maybe New York's new law will give other states the courage to do the right thing, too, and not just pay lip service to their grief. Places with strong gun laws have the fewest gun deaths, and those with the weakest laws have the most gun deaths. When is America going to wake up and do something? The NRA, well-funded by the gun manufacturers, continues to whip people up into a frenzy in opposition to any and all rational gun controls. Are we going to let them tell us what legislation we do or don't need? When is America going to start doing what we know works and put in some sensible controls on gun ownership? Many counties in New York State have passed resolutions in opposition to the SAFE Act, perhaps cowed by the NRA and its hysterical rantings. I urge you to pass a resolution of strong support for the SAFE Act. If there is anything wrong with it, it isn't strong enough. Please do not water down your resolution. And I noticed that there are two resolutions that are identical in terms of the wording, E-406 and P-4089, and those both seem to be the ones that are most straightforward and simply support it without any ifs, ands, or buts. Thank you.
And Betsy, your name and where you live?
Oh, Betsy Darlington. I live in the city of Ithaca, where I've lived for almost 50 years.
Thank you very much. Carol Ornstein, Bill Goodman, and Ian Bishop.
Hi, I'm Carol Ornstein. I live in the city of Ithaca, and I've lived in Tompkins County for 40 years. I'll be very brief. If there were no guns, there would be no gun violence. I know we're not going to be able to make that happen. But the SAFE Act is a small step in helping curb gun violence, and every small step is important. If it saves one life, it is successful, and it may well save many more than that. People on both sides of the issue see imperfections in the Act, but let's give it a chance before more children or more of anybody die. And remember, the kinds of weapons that exist now didn't exist when the Second Amendment was written. Please support the SAFE Act, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol. Bill Goodman, Ian Bishop, then Pat Leary.
Thank you. Bill Goodman. I live on West Hill in the town of Ithaca, where I serve on the town board and am deputy town supervisor. I would just ask you all to support the SAFE Act and remind you that even though the passion of those who are in favor of the SAFE Act might not be as intense, there are a lot of us out there in the county that do support the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Ian Bishop, Pat Leary, and then Pam Geldner.
Good evening. My name is Ian Bishop. I live in the town of Freeville. First of all, I'd like to say that I was part of a grassroots organization that collected over 1,600 signatures that was presented to this legislature, the last full meeting, and also the Public Safety Committee, that we're not part of the NRA. We had no backing from any large lobbying group or anything like that. It was strictly citizens getting together to voice their opinion against this act. There's been a lot of talk about gun crime statistics and how the NRA squashed the CDC's gun crime research. I don't know how that is a disease anyway. But all you have to do is look at the FBI uniform crime reports. In 2010, there were 12,996 murders in the United States committed with murders. 8,775 of them were committed with firearms. Only 358 were committed with a rifle of any type. That doesn't denote quote-unquote assault weapons or anything like that. So the percentage of firearm homicides, even in all the murders, another facet of this law is the universal background checks. You probably heard a myth floating around that 40% of firearm sales in the country go unnoticed by anyone. That's simply not true. That study was done in 1993 and 1994, right when the Brady Act was becoming more enforced. Found only 4% of firearms came from a gun show or other unregulated source. 17% came from a family member. These numbers don't support the 40% myth now. They didn't support it then, and they don't support it now. I'd also like to talk about the statement that the Sheriff's Association made on their website. It's the view of the Sheriff's Association that any time government decides it is necessary or desirable to nibble around the edges of a constitutional right, that it should only be done with caution and with great respect for the constitutional boundaries.
1 minute.
And it should only be done in the benefit gained is so great and certain that it far outweighs the damage done by the constriction of individual liberty. While many of the provisions of this bill have surface appeal, it is far from certain that all or even any of them will have any significant effect in reducing gun violence, which is a presumed goal. I'm going to close with that, and I just hope that you would all vote to repeal the SAFE Act. It's a bad law. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Pat Leary, Pam Geldner, then Kurt Gottfried.
I'm Pat Leary from the town of Ithaca, and I just want to point out that the petition that was just mentioned, if you look at the petition, many of the names on it were anonymous, so it doesn't necessarily indicate support from residents of Tompkins County. A week ago, President Obama was in the town of Newtown, and he stood with the families of the women and children who were killed at Sandy Hook. And he said, shame on us if we can't enact strong gun safety legislation. Shame on us if we've forgotten already what happened in Sandy Hook. And so the resolutions before you tonight are not just symbolic. They are important. They will influence what the state legislature does going forward. And if anything less than full support is passed by this legislature, it will put Tompkins County on the green map. So I urge you to support the SAFE Act. And if you can't take a principled position on something this basic and this important for a progressive county, then you would have to ask, why are you in office? Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Pam Geldner, Kirk Godfrey, then Howard Aldendorf, I believe.
Hi. I'm Pam Goldner, and I live in Tompkins County. I am here to strongly support the SAFE Act. 90% of Americans support universal background checks, and we need more laws like the SAFE Act, not less. This law was passed with bipartisan support. Connecticut will be passing a very similar law tomorrow, again with bipartisan support. If this law can save one life, then it will be worth every bit of inconvenience put on gun buyers, sellers, and owners. There is nothing in this law that prevents anybody who wants to buy a gun and passes a background check from buying a gun or using that gun. A background check is a phone call that can take about 5 minutes. And, you know, the other things that registering your gun every 5 years is like filling out a form. And magazine size does make a difference, as we know from Connecticut shooting where Adam Lanza used 30 rounds and children were able to flee from the room when he was reloading. So if he had to do that more often, then more of those children in that school would be alive today. And he purchased those, or his mom purchased those, legally. This law closes many of the loopholes that existed before, and there are improvements being made right now to the SAFE Act, such as a discrepancy of the penalty of having more than 7 rounds from a felony to a misdemeanor. I just want to say that we just need to look at the facts, and the facts show that the states that have the strongest gun laws have the lowest gun deaths. And I think that the legislators should fully support the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. I'm sorry I keep messing up your name. Kirk Godfrey, Howard Aldendorf, and Christopher Morley.
Hello, I'm Kurt Gottfried. I've lived in Ithaca with my wife for 49 years, and we've raised 2 children here, and we have grandchildren here. I know that many of my fellow citizens in this here are concerned that laws restricting gun ownership will turn into a gross violation of the Constitution and lead the federal government to seizing their guns. And that as citizens of the United States, we must be able to defend ourselves against such a turn of events. If the federal government were to seize weapons in private hands, it would have become a totalitarian dictatorship. I want to say that I have personal experience with a dictatorship. When I was 9 years old, the Nazis occupied Vienna. The sky was swarming with fleets of fighters, and my enormous schoolyard was filled with hundreds of armored personnel carriers and tanks. Soon afterwards, 2 of my uncles were arrested and sent to Dachau, a notorious concentration camp. They had never been involved in politics of any kind. If any ordinary citizen, whether acting alone or in some resistance group, had tried to stop the Nazis' grab of power, they'd have been killed immediately. Something like that could only happen here in the United States after a catastrophic breakdown of our society. This country is too deeply democratic for our government to even imagine such a break with our traditions, no matter which of our parties is in control of Washington. The fact that we are having these meetings is an illustration of the strength and depth of the democratic tradition. Perhaps a great financial crisis like 1932, which brought the Great Depression, could have led to such a breakdown. However, President Roosevelt and his New Deal restored enough confidence in our system to prevent the rise of anti-democratic power.
1 minute.
And there were such anti-democratic forces in the 1930s, but they were not strong enough to destroy our democratic system. To me, the lesson of history is that we must sustain confidence in our democratic political system, messy and inefficient as it really is. There are no shortcuts. Whether or not citizens have assault rifles will not matter if our political system has become so damaged as to make the rise of a dictatorship possible. So in view of that, I ask you to support the act, and like all democratic acts, it is, of course, imperfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt. Howard Aldendorf, Christopher Morley, and then Connor Jones.
In reference to what the second-to-last speaker said about strict gun laws making places safe, New York State has fewer gun murders and gun suicides than any other state already before these laws were passed. I would like to make five comments, but first I'd like to state on the record that I was shocked to hear Peter Stein's sane comments on evidence-based decision-making denigrated as being too scientific, which is exactly what we would hope for in discussing how to reduce violence. That remark, him being a scientist, was an inappropriate covert slam, especially given that he was modeling representative government as designed by the founders, which places a break of reasonable pause between unreflective emotion and action. That's what you are elected for, to represent and work for us thoughtfully, not to act on your emotions. Now for my four comments. The first concerns guns, freedoms, and the issue of responsibility. It is said that we have way more guns among us than any other country. Well, we also have way more freedom, along which come responsibilities. To cut violence, we need only catch up responsibility with freedom. And this in response to the gentleman who asked during a public safety committee meeting last week for solutions to gun violence. As with driving a car, raise the age of gun possession unless accompanied by an adult in training. Most mass tragedies have been perpetrated by young, unsupervised people. B, to prevent them unsupervised access, mandate biometric safes, now expensive.
1 minute.
If mass-produced, prices will come down. My second comment is about assault weapons. It is an assault on truth. The term was invented by Nazi propaganda when they were losing the war to designate guns with smaller cartridge cases, named Sturmgewehr, storm weapon, when they were no longer storming anybody, but when people's hopes had to be bolstered by lies. I'll skip to my last thing, which is we're all brought together here with great concern and passion. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to speak out together against other related government encroachments on rights, the NDAA and the Patriot Act. Is it just the other guy, the minority du jour, who will be locked up, or you, or your neighbor? No person is an island. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard. I should have asked before, please tell us if you are a resident of another county besides Tompkins County. Christopher Morley, Connor Jones, and then John O'Rourke.
Hi, my name is Christopher Morley. I'm from Schuyler County, 20 years old, and I live in Mecklenburg. One of the many points that the New York State Sheriff's Association has written in opposition to the New York Safe Act is requirement of NICS checks for private sales except between immediate family. We believe that this will ensure that responsible citizens will still be able to obtain legal firearms through private transactions. With the added assurance that private buyers are approved by the Federal National Instant Criminal Background Check system, we remain concerned that this provision will be very difficult to enforce and will likely only affect law-abiding citizens. I believe that the SAFE Act is seriously flawed and urge you to pass Resolution 2013-36, opposing the New York Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement Act of 2013, which was submitted by Legislator McKenna. If a majority vote doesn't pass that, I strongly urge you to pass Resolution Number 4065, urging the New York State Legislature and Governor Cuomo to re-examine the New York Safe Act using a careful and deliberate public process, which was submitted by Legislator Lane and amended by the Public Safety Committee on March 27th. Another point I want to get at across that is that spoons don't make people overweight, cars don't make drunk driving unsafe, and guns don't kill people. You say the Safe Act of 2013 is a good first step. All I can say is the state has bit off more than they can chew. And for my fellow gun owners and myself, you can pry our guns from and Second Amendment rights from our cold, dead hands. We look forward to your support, and on Election Day, we will support those of you that have supported us. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Connor Jones, then John O'Rourke, Denver Jones.
Hi, my name is Connor Jones. I am a lifelong resident of Tompkins County. I live in the town of Ulysses. I'm also a student at Ithaca College. I am here today to ask to oppose the New York Safe Act. Another point, like my friend Chris Morley mentioned from New York State Sheriff's Association, is that the assault weapon ban and definition of assault weapons is too broad. Quote, "We believe that the new definition of assault weapons is too broad and prevents the possession of many weapons that are legitimately used for hunting, target shooting, and self-defense. Classifying firearms as assault weapons because of the one arbitrary feature effectively deprives people the right to possess firearms which have never been designated as assault weapons before. We are convinced that only law-abiding gun owners will be affected by these new provisions, while criminals will still have to use whatever weapons they want." End quote. I remember when I heard this law was passed, I was out with my friends, Chris Morley included. We were out coon hunting with dogs. And at that moment, the rifle that we were using, which was a Ruger 10/22, was illegal. We were then criminals in some sort of case, I guess you could say, just because we were out hunting with a rifle that we had had for probably 30 years, longer than my life. I believe that the SAFE Act is seriously flawed and urge you to pass Resolution 2013-36, opposing the New York Secure Firearm Ammunition Enforcement Act of 2013, which is submitted by Legislature McKenna. If a majority vote doesn't pass that, which I hope it does, I strongly urge you to pass Resolution number 4065, urging New York State Legislature and Governor Cuomo to reexamine the New York SAFE Act using a careful and public process, which was submitted by Legislator Lane and amended by the Public Safety Committee on March 27th, which I sadly missed, but I have been to two other meetings prior.
1 minute.
We look forward to your support on Election Day. We will support those of you who have supported us. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Connor. John O'Rourke, then Denver Jones, and Diane Hamilton.
Hi, my name is John O'Rourke, and I live in Newfield, Tompkins County. And I've been to a lot of the meetings throughout the past month, and I really didn't want to believe that I set my expectations so, you know, too high. This is my first time being involved in any of this process. But I see all of you sitting here making these decisions, enacting and passing legislation, same as our forefathers did when our Constitution was passed, and can't help wondering what they would think. President Obama came out last week saying, "Shame on all of us if we've forgotten Newtown." None of us have forgotten any of these horrendous tragedies. You know, shouldn't we also be saying, "Shame on us for forgetting our Constitution"? And one of the little booklets that were handed out at the public safety meeting, there's one passage that was in that. And it says, in 2004, a public law was passed requiring each federal agency or department shall provide educational and training material concerning the U.S. Constitution to each of its employees on September 17th of each year. And a couple of what-ifs might, you know, that in Colorado, they've already had one sheriff satellite office. This officer had his office in a sheriff's station. He moved his office into a public school. No cost to the taxpayers whatsoever. His desk job at that sheriff's station is now in a public school. He walks that hallways of that school every day, greets the kids, sees everybody, sees him. That wouldn't cost any county, any taxpayer in this country a dime, and would be, you know, it's just what to think of. In Colorado, this defendant now, they've rejected, they want a plea deal. The no life sentence and that now, because the DA is seeking the death penalty, this trial goes on not until February of next year. How much of a cost is that to everyone? That shouldn't even be a consideration. In our own county here, the shooter, the defendant that shot Tony Augustine, the first plea deal has been rejected because his attorney thinks he can get a better plea deal. So now he's shooting for 7 to 10 years because he said he didn't intentionally shoot Officer Augustine, and the gun that he had in or on his duffel bag when he turned around went off. That gun was just found a couple of days ago in his girlfriend's apartment in the couch. These sex offenders and that have these bracelets, cutting these bracelets off and that at a cost to the taxpayers. Having the sex offenders now, they want to take their pictures every 3 years because they keep changing their identities. If we just planted a microchip in these people, there would be no, you know, you would know where they are at all times.
Finish up. Your time is up.
And can I just say one more thing? I'm sorry.
Very quickly.
On every question of construction, let us carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Denver Jones, Diane Hamilton, and John Hertzler.
I'm Denver Jones. I'm from Candor, Tioga County. I think most things have been said already, some of it not exactly true, but I'll go at a different route. As parents, we find that our children have a tendency to try to push the envelope, to always try to see how far they can go, what to be able to get away without doing, and so on. Doesn't matter, it's washing dishes or whatever. Our legislature, our governors, and so on, for decades, have continually kept pushing the envelope, have continually kept infringing upon our freedoms, and no one's calling them on it. They should be sent back to their bedrooms or whatever, redo this bill by repealing it to start with, and just do what they're supposed to be doing. They have not addressed at all the issue of mental illness. They've not addressed at all the issue of violence from criminals. They're after guns from legal owners, and it needs to be repealed. And we need to take them to the woodshed and make them do their job properly and stop infringing upon our rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Denver. Diane Hamilton, John Hertzler, Francis Weissman.
Hi, I'm Diane Hamilton. I own a house in the city of Ithaca, and I live with my husband and two small children on an organic farm in Caroline. And I'm here with Shelley Michelle Nunn right here, who also lives and works in the city of Ithaca. And we're here to give you a brief intermission from talking about the SAFE Act. To thank you for your continued commitment and support for our U2O endeavor. So Shelley and I are on the U2O Planning Committee. planning this all-community movie viewing that is currently all over the county in schools, in community centers, in churches, in organizations, in city and county departments, and it's really exciting. I've been at a few of the conversations that have happened after the movie showings, and it's really amazing to hear what people are saying about their experiences in Tompkins County today, and we're really looking forward to that action, the synergistic energy that is going to take our county to the next place, the action that's going to come from these viewings. So what we're asking today is for you guys to please do whatever you can to let your constituents know about the upcoming viewing at the State Theater. I'm going to leave some flyers behind just in case they can be copied if anyone wants them. But u2o.org is the website. There's also a Facebook site, so any of you guys on Facebook that can invite as many of your constituents as possible to the viewings at the State Theater that are April 8th, 15th, and 22nd, three Mondays. They're being hosted, the first one, by Dr. David Scorton, President of Cornell, Marcia Fort, Executive Director of GIAC. The second one is being hosted by Dr. Sean Eversley Bradwell, Assistant Professor at IC, and Jean McTheaters, President of the Chamber of Commerce. And the third episode is being hosted by Savanti Mirick, the Mayor of the City of Ithaca, and Don Barber, the Supervisor of the Town of Caroline. So we're very excited, and thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Okay, sure.
How much does it cost?
It's free. It's free.
And what's the name of the movie?
And the movie, the name of the movie is called Race, The Power of an Illusion. It's a PBS documentary. You can see award-winning, done by California Newsreel. You can see clips of it on YouTube if you want to pass the clips on via your listservs or Facebook out or however. So thank you. I wish I had gotten to speak first when all the people were still here.
Thank you, Diane and Shelley. John Hertzler, then Francis Weissman, and Mike Terwilliger.
Hello. I've noticed I'm sitting in the other room watching the big screen, the Jumbotron over there, and it's interesting. The people that are reading, their hands are shaking so much that it's obvious that they're very passionate and very, as I am right now, very upset and a little bit hard to control their emotions. How difficult it would be for me to sit in a room with that many people, that upset, all armed. That bothers me, that prospect. My daughter goes to Trumansburg Middle School, and I'm worried every day because of this, because of the possibility of an attack. The cheers that go off in the other room in the supporters for the repeal of the SAFE Act is troubling to me, very much so. The Constitution was about the most imperfect document when it was passed. Evidence of that is there are 27 amendments to it at this point. The amendment means change. So in terms of the SAFE Act being imperfect, well, there is the need to do something. I implore you to do something, rather than stick our heads in the sand and do nothing and let these things continue to happen. Yes, background checks need to be done. Yes, something must be done about the videotape, the disc culture that I am a part of. And I feel horrendous that this guy was watching Mortal Kombat or Call to Duty in his basement in Newtown, that got himself worked up into this kind of passion. But then he did not take the disc with him into the school. He took multi-round magazines with guns, into the school. The reason more people weren't killed in Tucson is because he had to change clips and he was not adept at it. More people might have been killed. That 9-year-old girl being shot that was the daughter of the son of the former manager, I think, of a baseball team. I still have that on the wall above my desk, the funeral where her brother is wiping a tear from his eye. You have to do something. This might not be perfect, but it is something. Please support the SAFE Act.
Thank you, John. Francis Weissman, Mike Terwilliger, and Vito Diola.
Good evening. My name is Francis Weissman. I've lived in the city of Ithaca for the past 36 years. I am here to beg you to repeal the SAFE Act. The covenant that the citizens of the United States have with their government is simple to state and simple to understand. The Declaration of Independence states that we, a free people, have certain inalienable rights, and to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The New York SAFE Act is a complete abrogation of these founding principles, thereby threatening our essential freedom. First, the SAFE Act by design diminishes or even eliminates the rights of the people rather than securing them. It tramples on the supreme law of the land, our Constitution, by infringing on our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. It also violates the provision of the New York Civil Rights Act, which echoes the Constitution, but carries it one step farther by saying the people's right cannot instead of shall not be infringed. Second, the procedure to pass this egregious law totally disavowed the principles that legislators derive their just power from the people. Slinking around in the night with any time for representatives to read the bill or give it due consideration, falsely calling it an emergency and making any public comment impossible, reeks of a government with an agenda to have power over the people, not to derive its power from the people. The conversation we are having tonight should have occurred before the law was passed, not after. Further, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo made clear that he has a gun control agenda that goes beyond the law and his power and this law. He publicly stated confiscation could be an option. Mandatory sale to the state could be an option. Permitting could be an option. Keep your gun, but permit it. This approach is incremental. For example, the registration permits in the New York SAFE Act now could provide a necessary prelude to confiscation in the future. Little by little, our rights disappear. The disregard for the law and for proper procedure employed to pass the SAFE Act can be utilized again and again by an agenda-driven government to achieve any number of nefarious outcomes, diminishing and possibly obliterating our future, including if the administration should change and it should be your point of view. For these reasons, this law cannot stand. It must be repealed. Freedom-loving people must stand for the resolution that asks for repeal. Gun control is not about guns. It is about control.
Thank you, Francis. Mike Terwilliger, Vito Diola, and Skip Townsend. And I have about another dozen after those. So if there's anyone else who wants to speak.
Hi, my name is Mike Terwilliger. I'm a lifelong resident of Tompkins County, I think. Fourth generation, actually. My grandfather went to work at the Ithaca Gun Company as a young man. He rose to the rank of foreman, and a few years before his retirement, he was the plant superintendent. I believe he retired in 71, 72. And so there's been many people talking here about the tragedy that happened at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I agree, it's a terrible tragedy. And if I thought the SAFE Act would have prevented that, I would be in favor of it. But I'm telling you that the SAFE Act would not have prevented the tragedy in Sandy Hook, and even one of the sponsors who's in the assembly admitted that on the assembly floor. And I've got this quote here if you'd like me to read it. But what I would like to point out as the impetus for this was the tragedy at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. But are you aware that Sidwell Friends School in Washington, D.C. is where Hillary and Bill Clinton sent Chelsea Clinton, where the Al Gore sent his kids, where Joe Biden sent his grandkids, and where David Gregory, the host of Meet the Press, sends his kids currently. Sidwell Friends Elementary School in D.C. has 11 armed guards. That is in addition to the Secret Service protection afforded to President Biden's two children, whose two kids go to this school. So shame on all of them for sending their kids to a school that has 11 armed guards and not allowing any armed guards in our schools. Now, also, I've heard many people comment that there's no hard evidence about the crimes that have been involved using assault weapons. Well, here it is. 203,300 state and federal prisoners who were armed during the crime for which they were incarcerated, fewer than 2% used, carried, or possessed a semi-automatic assault weapon. 2% or less. Now, FBI uniform crime reports. On average, 2 million Americans protect themselves from a crime and also prevent a crime from being committed 2 million times per year. We don't hear about these because I guess it's not as newsworthy to the anti-gun group as what happens in Sandy Hook or what happened in Aurora with the shooter there. And incidentally, James Holm, who did that terrible act in Aurora at the Cinemark movie theater, he bypassed 2 to 3 other movie theaters that were closer to his apartment and chose the theater that had on the outside of its door gun-free zone.
1 minute.
And since 1950, every multiple mass shooting that involved 4 people or more have been committed in areas that have been designated as gun-free zones, movie theaters, restaurants, shopping plazas, and school grounds. Now, Chicago is the most restrictive city that we have in America for gun control. You cannot even have a shotgun in your home. And if you have a pistol permit and you're traveling through the city limits, you have to remove your pistol, put it in a locked box, and put it in the trunk of your car. So that is the most restricted city. And in Chicago in 2012, 440 school-age children were shot. Of that number, 440, 60 died. So it goes on to say here is that, so in a gun-controlled utopia such as Chicago, you would expect the children to be safe. But then I ask you, New York had the 4th toughest gun laws prior to the SAFE Act.
Finish
that,
please.
Connecticut had the 5th. Chicago is the most restrictive city in America on guns, and yet they had 440 school-age children were shot in 2012, 60 died.
Thank you, Mike.
Is this what you want to happen here? It doesn't work.
It's time for Vito Diallo.
Mass shootings.
Mike, thank you. Vito Diallo, but I'm not sure I'm spelling it right. Vito Iola. It's really, anybody named Vito from Newfield? Okay, I assume that person has left. What? Okay. Is it noisy in the other room? Are people not hearing me?
Where's in the hall? I can't really hear.
Okay. Could you spell your last name for me?
Dicciola. D-I-C-I-O-L-L-A.
Thank you. And you live?
I live in Newfield. I've lived there for several years. And thanks. So I registered to vote today. Why today? Why now? 2 weeks ago was my first public legislative experience. I saw 9 out of 10 people make the effort to come down here and speak to everyone, and their sentiment was in favor of repealing the New York State Safe Gun Act. Unfortunately, I feel like it fell on deaf ears, as we're here again today, with exception of some of the representatives here who were ready to vote on it. So, make it short, I don't even understand why the Second Amendment is even a debatable topic. We do need to change, but New York Safe Gun Act is not the change we need. So why I registered to vote today? Well, you inspired me. Thank you.
Thank you, Vito. Skip Townsend, then Patricia Sipman, and then Edward Weissman. Skip Townsend. Okay.
Is Sorry about Edward, that. I couldn't hear you.
Is Patricia Sipman around? Is she here?
Patricia Sipman.
Then Edward Weissman.
Hello, my name is Skip Townsend. I live in Newfield. I just wrote something short and sweet. If we have the right to life, then surely we must have a right to defend it. Without such, there would be little point to saying you have a right to life. It would be similar to say I have $5, but because I'm not allowed to protect my $5, someone could come along and take it forcibly and only face consequences if they are apprehended. Without an effective means to protect your life, or if you're unable to do so, how can you expect law enforcement to take on that responsibility? Hang on one second. Police are there to uphold the law, but the average response time of an officer is about 20 to 30 minutes. Would you ask someone that means to do you harm to wait for the police to arrive? You would not, because you know they would not. They would do what they mean to do and then leave. Very few, if any, laws have actually deterred crime. For someone to think they can infringe upon your right to life is a deviant act, and I sincerely doubt words on paper would faze criminals, and I ask that you strongly oppose the SAFE Act and vote to repeal it. Thank you.
Thank you, Skip. I've got Patricia Sipman, Edward Weissman, then Kelly Keel.
Hi, I'm Patricia Sipman, Patty Sipman. I've lived in Ithaca for 14 years. When the public last had the opportunity to address our legislature on the SAFE Act, many folks referred to our constitutional rights. I'd like to point out that when the Constitution was written, the most powerful weapon probably on the battlefield was the cannon. It took two or three strong men, about, you know, optimally 5 minutes to load that cannon. The time it took a team of two horses to get that cannon on the battlefield was measured not in hours, but sometimes even days. I would like to say that there are modern assault rifles that have the capacity to kill people, multiple people, as quickly and effectively as a cannon. I don't think the SAFE Act is inconsistent with maintaining a well-regulated militia or the public's right to bear arms. I would like to say that a well-regulated militia could be defined as a militia that doesn't include allowing every Tom, Dick, and Harry to carry around the killing power of a cannon, and doesn't allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry to keep the killing power of a cannon in their homes or their cars where their children are. Loose cannons pose a public health risk. And I would ask our legislature to support the SAFE Act. And I have to say that I'm disappointed that a committee dedicated to promoting public health on our legislature is opposed to the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. Edward Weissman, Kelly Keel, and then Herb Engman.
Hi, I'm Ed Weissman. I live in the city of Ithaca. The New York SAFE Act was enacted despite the fact that there's no conclusive evidence indicating that it will save the lives of children or save the lives of anyone else. There are many factual studies have been done addressing whether gun control laws save or whether they cost lives. Most show no reduction in gun crime, including murder, under gun control laws. Some show the opposite, higher rates of murder and other gun crimes under stricter gun control laws. So here are some facts. From the outset of the Chicago handgun ban and related restrictions that began in 1982 up through 2007, the murder rate in Chicago averaged 17% lower than it was before the law took effect, while the comparable U.S. murder rate averaged 25% lower. But the percentage of murders committed with handguns in Chicago averaged 40% higher. From the outset of the Washington, D.C. handgun ban and related restriction in 1976, through 2008, when the Supreme Court struck the law down, the Washington, D.C. murder rate averaged 73% higher than it was prior to the ban, while the U.S. murder rate averaged 11% lower. On the other hand, in 1987, Florida's right to carry law, which allowed, under proper conditions, people to concealed carry, became effective. And since the outset through 2008, the Florida murder rate has averaged 36% lower than before the law took effect, while the U.S. murder rate has averaged 15% lower. There are other statistics of this type. Do these facts prove anything? They do not prove anything. There are many variables that have to be taken into account. But the comparison seemed to indicate, in these cases at least and in many others, that stricter gun laws do not lead to declines in murder and other gun crimes. They may, in fact, cost more lives than they save, as we heard people talking about the use of guns to actually defend themselves against crimes. So why is this the case? Thomas Sowell wrote, it's easier to disarm peaceful law-abiding people than it is to disarm people who are neither peaceful nor law-abiding.
1 minute.
And this is especially true in a country where there are millions of guns already out there. The fact seems to be that gun control laws do not control guns. In fact, we do not seem to be doing a good job making sure that guns do not fall into the hands of people with criminal records or mental illness by using the laws already on the books. In 2007, Congress passed the National Instant Criminal Background Check Improvements Amendment Act, providing incentives for states to improve the reporting of mental health information into background check systems. But because Congress failed to follow through with funding, granting just 5.3% of the amount authorized between fiscal year 2009 and 2011, little progress has been made in improving the reporting from states. And nor is the Justice Department strongly enforcing prosecutions of people who falsify information on their gun background checks. The FBI reported 71,000 instances of people lying on their background checks to buy guns in 2009. There were 77 cases prosecuted.
Please wrap up.
Wouldn't we be better off making sure that people who, when armed, present a danger to the community, cannot get their hands on guns, than in restricting the rights of those who present no such danger? And
thank
that's
you.
What the New York SAFE Act does. I urge you to support Legislator McKenna's resolution again to repeal the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Edward. Kelly Keel, Herb Engman, and Kevin Wiskowski.
Hi, and thank you for your time. I have no disillusion that you're going to support.
I'm sorry, could you tell us where you live?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Kelly Keel, and I live in Lansing, New York. I have no disillusion that you're going to support the people and most of New York State, as you can see by the map, and repeal this act. I don't think the Tompkins County Legislature ever really listens to the voters. I think that a small percentage of the voters actually come out, or the residents actually come out and vote. So, and that's the voters. That's the people's fault, not the legislature's fault. I would ask that you would repeal this act. There's not one person who has come up here and said how this act would save one life of any child. Drugs are illegal, too, yet they're rampant throughout this city. I don't even like to be downtown after dark anymore because it is unsafe, terribly unsafe in this city. I want to thank everybody who's come out. I'm shocked because I think that we're already living in tyranny in this town. It's a one-town city. Nobody runs against anybody. How is that democracy? I think it is a shame that we forgot why the Second Amendment was put into place. It is a shame. I think it's a shame that people don't know why the NRA was put there. This country has already enslaved people. Let's not forget why. They were unarmed and uneducated. What are we doing again? That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Herb Engman, Kevin Wiskowski, and then Marparella from Trumansburg.
Martha, I don't think your microphone is...
It's really not...
Hello? You have to go directly in it, talk in it to get out there.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Having been in the other room, I can tell you the main reason people aren't hearing their names called is the applause, so they can't hear them.
Okay.
You can't hear your names being called after the applause of certain speakers.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hold on, Herb, just a second. We're almost at 2 hours of public comment. Indeed, we are listening. I really... really beg you to please respect us. We have at least 3 hours worth of business after you're finished. if there's applause and we wait 3 minutes between every speaker because somebody didn't hear, folks, we need your help. Please keep the applause down so you can hear who's next. Herb Engman, Kevin Wiskoski, Marparitha that I can't read from Chumansburg, then Hannah Kuhn, then Joanne Cipolla-Dennis, then Ted Townsend, then Robert McCarthy, and Diana Kelly. Okay, Herb.
Herb Engman, Town of Ithaca. I wasn't going to mention anything about the Constitution, but there have been several references to it tonight, and I had read last weekend a biography of George Washington, who was the president of the Constitutional Convention. That was held totally in private manner. There was no outside input. There were no drafts allowed to go outside. It was held in total secrecy. So the irony of that ought to be contemplated when some of these claims are being made about the perfection of the U.S. Constitution. I wanted to focus instead tonight on the big picture. This is the big picture. These were the kids being led away from Sandy Hook Elementary. Their classmates, 20 of them, were dead inside. And the Ithaca Journal re-ran this last week, and I think that was a good thing to do so that we don't forget. The NRA has been very active in lobbying across the country, including at the federal and local levels, and they've done a pretty good job of it. But then they have the advantage of having a lobbying effort. The children don't. Those who are on the side of positive gun reform don't have those. And indeed, in the Ithaca Journal this morning, a headline in one of the columns, County Vote on Safe Act Tonight. So they have access to the media that they can get their minions out, and the other side doesn't have those potential ways of getting the word out to the public. A couple of people mentioned the fact that President Obama made a statement on the Newtown shooting. The exact quote was, "The entire country was shocked," Obama said, "and the entire country pledged we would do something about it and that this time would be different. Shame on us if we've forgotten." So that's the big picture, making sure that we haven't forgotten all of the folks who have died from gun violence in this country. And I would urge you to think about this being the time to support President Obama and his efforts to respond positively to the New York State Legislature, which took leadership on this issue and should be commended for that, and to join with the City of Ithaca and the Town of Ithaca in support, without equivocation, of the New York State SAFE Act.
Thank you, Herb. Kevin Wiskoski, Marparitha from Chumansburg, Hannah Kuhn,
recess after that?
Let's get through the speakers and we'll take a break.
I personally have been at the center of this debate because I'm a hunter, shooter, home defender, firearms collector, most importantly, a father who one day hopes and prays that as American citizens we'll have the right to practice these same activities with our children and grandchildren. I just want to kind of present a little different argument here. The Huffington Post on April 2nd, 2013, that the World Health Organization warned that there's a killer out there that's much worse than private gun ownership. It causes nearly 4% of all deaths worldwide, more than AIDS, tuberculosis, or even violence. And 2.5 million people die from this every year. The United States also is prone to this too, but the statistics are not as bad as other countries. And you might ask, what is this killer? Well, it is alcohol. And in the United States, alcohol-related deaths through driving were horrendous in the 70s and 80s. And basically, in the mid-70s, 60% of all traffic deaths were alcohol-related. What did we do? We didn't call on Mayor Bloomberg to make beer 4 ounces. We didn't say we're no longer going to sell six-packs, we're going to sell singles. We didn't go after the alcohol producers and say you have to cut your alcohol percentages in half. No. Two basic things. I listened to everyone that's spoken. Education. We have to educate in the schools, the public, on guns and firearms. And we also have to take into effect The law enforcement, they've done a phenomenal job the past 20, 30 years in cracking down on drunk drivers. Now if you've got someone out there that has been drinking, they think twice about getting behind the wheel because they know the consequences. The alcohol industry, the companies, they weren't really touched upon. So how are firearms different?
The fact 1 minute,
is they
please.
Really aren't. Banning certain types of firearms, mostly rifles, magazine limits, restrictions, background checks, and purchasing bullets, will not work. Please remember, according to the FBI crime statistic in 2011, 5 out of 774 crimes or homicides in New York were committed with a long gun. We don't even know if they were what some people may call assault weapons. I suggest the repeal. The NICS background checks by the Federal Bureau of Investigation for over a 14-year period have denied almost 1 million transactions. Out of those, in just 2012, there were 88,000. But out of these, 44, and it is a felony to lie in it, by the way, only 44 people out of those 88,000 were ever prosecuted. And that's a felony. Simply crack down on the existing laws. Don't make new laws that make innocent law-abiding citizens criminals. Use what you have. Education, the current law enforcement.
Thank you. Time is up.
Okay,
and I don't think you said where you live.
Okay.
Kevin?
Lansing.
Lansing. Okay.
Lansing.
Thanks very much. The next speaker is Mar Perella, but if you'll please spell your first and last name, because
my name is Margarita Hendricks. Okay. It's Hendricks, the last name.
Margarita?
Yeah, Hendricks.
Thank you.
And I live in Trumansburg. I've been to the 4 meetings, and I've spoken already, but believe it or not, each meeting there's actually something new to report on. That's why I'm talking again. First, I'd like to reiterate I have a lot of respect for all the people who spoke in favor of the SAFE Act. They're concerned about the violence. I understand safety of their children. I was in Binghamton when they shot people dead at the civic society. I was, like, actively involved with all the things that were happening. We were, like, really shaking up, and I'm shaking now. I mean, not necessarily because of that. But now the question here is, do we need to send a resolution in favor of the SAFE Act to show that we really care about human life? And I believe it is not. Because what we do need, much more than the SAFE Act, we need elected officials who consistently act democratically, especially when it is inconsistent with their personal political agenda. So we want officials who act democratically, not just when it's convenient for them, but all the time. This morning, you all probably read the newspaper about Mark who got picked up by the FBI because of some strange scandal that is going on and is involving the both parties. Yesterday, Malcolm Smith was a respected politician. Today, it's not anymore. How do we know what Cuomo is doing? We don't. But actually, if we read the newspaper, we get some ideas. Because that is point number 2. We need also protection, not just against corruption, but against incompetence. Because what did Cuomo do last week? His aides leaked to the press that actually Cuomo didn't write the bill. It was Bloomberg and the Brady campaign. And so we can actually see what is happening here. That's not so much about safety here, but about Cuomo, like, trying to develop coalitions with Bloomberg and the Brady campaign. And it kind of fired back because they didn't do a good job. I mean, we want our officials to protect us against this sort of incompetence. Now, I get to the third point, and that concerns something that many people in favor of the SAFE Act have said. Tough gun laws
1 minute.
Reduce violence. I mean, complete agreement, and I even brought evidence to support that statement. And if you all look at the graph that I just gave you, it shows that New York State has already excellent laws, is the lowest in terms of suicide rates, is the lowest in terms of homicidal rates. So what we need is funded mandates. We need money to actually act out the existing laws. In Binghamton, the person that did all the killing, there were lots of red flags that he should have not gotten the guns he did, but they were not acted out because there was not enough money. And lastly, I want to end by saying I think at this moment, as I was at the last meeting, that probably Tompkins County is the most democratic county in the entire state of New York. Someone told me last time that they were making sausages and it was ugly. But I thought they were like looking like nice organic sausages that everyone could see the ingredients. So you all allowed us to speak up. You keep on allowing speak up. And I thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you, Margareta. Hannah Kuhn and Joanne Cipolla-Dennis, Ted Townsend, Robert McCarthy, Diana Kelly.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Hannah. I'm from Hector, but my family is in New Jersey.
And Hannah, what county is Hector?
Thank you. Everyone here has memories that they cherish. Some of my favorite memories are sitting around the table eating venison dinner. I grew up on venison, not beef. And also some of my favorite memories were hunting with my parents and dogs or skeet shooting. This last weekend, I went to New Jersey and Pennsylvania. I went to 4 different ammo shops and called 2 others, and I was unable to get ammo for my .22 shotgun, because of the SAFE Act in New York, and since I was a New York State resident. So earlier you were asking us for your cooperation and your help abiding by the time limit and whatnot, and now we're asking you to hear us out. Be open-minded and listen to what we have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. Joanne Cipolla-Dennis, Ted Townsend, Robert McCarthy, Diana Kelly, Laura Spada.
Hi, I'm Joanne Cipolla-Dennis. I'm from the town of Dryden in Tompkins County. I'm not going to reiterate what I said last time. I'm just going to finish what I didn't have time to say. People here are so afraid that the government is going to come and take their rights. And so they say that they need their unrestricted, unregulated, and no accountability form of gun control mentality. This mentality then is supposed to dictate the safety for the rest of us. That somehow rampant gun ownership will preserve and protect their constitutional rights. In 1989, I was on a Navy base in Souda Bay in Greece, serving our country, alongside my partner, who was a U.S. Navy chief. And while we were serving our country, our government at home was making a law to take our constitutional rights away from us. That name is DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. And you'll see that I have Sergeant Donna Johnson's picture up here with repeal. Don't ask, don't our DOMA on that. She was holding an AK-47 when she was killed in service in October of 2012, along with 2 other mates. Donna was married. She was legally married to her wife, Tracy, and her Tracy is also in the military who has a weapon. They can't go to our Congress and say, repeal DOMA, and I would like for you to know that when Donna was killed, the first notification did not go to her legal wife. It went to her mother. Not because the military did not want to do that. They actually did. But it's the law of DOMAs in our Republican Congress, which is supported by some of these members here, who continues to support that law. Guns don't make us safe. Violence is causing people to commit crimes that we cannot accept any longer. I really urge you to pass the SAFE Act and work on it, because it does need some work. But we need some responsible gun ownership, some leadership, and that's why I live in Tompkins County, because I'm supposed to feel safe here. The moment I don't feel safe here will be the moment I see guns carrying on women who think that they need a gun to stop somebody. If you're properly trained, you don't need a weapon. If somebody can't see and they can't breathe, they can't harm you. So please consider repealing DOMA, and I hope that doesn't pass the smell test to you.
Thank you, Joanne. Ted Townsend, then Robert McCarthy, then Diana Kelly.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for having me here. My name is Ted Townsend. I forgot my paper. But I was in the Marine Corps, and one just can't figure out why we were given, when we were 18 years old, M16s and 45 to go fight in somebody else's country, but when it comes to our country, they want to take them away from us. I think something's wrong with that picture. And, well, there it is right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Robert McCarthy, Diana Kelly, and Laura Spada, and those are the last people signed up. Robert McCarthy.
There are some of you who understand the intricacies of New York Safe and incidentally are for a resolution condemning it. Unfortunately, there are a few board members who still don't know the difference between a fully automatic military battle rifle and a civilian model AR-15. You have neglected to take the time to learn the knowledge base and the data that are prerequisite to any logical and meaningful dialogue. That being said, I will direct my attention to those of you who support the SAFE Act. If you are in support of the New York SAFE Act, you are a direct threat to liberty. If you are in support of the New York SAFE Act, you are a direct threat to individual freedoms. If you are in support of the New York SAFE Act, you are a direct threat to the safety of my family and I. If you are in support of the New York SAFE Act, you are a direct threat to the human free spirit, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. Folks, there is a walking corruption in Albany by the name of Andrew Cuomo. This guy finds it acceptable to showboat his career by trampling on the rights of New York State citizens. This comes from the same man who allowed Hollywood massive tax breaks and allows them exemption to use the same weapons he just banned. I urge you to do further research on this topic. I urge you to know the laws that are already on the books. I urge you to familiarize yourself with Supreme Court cases such as Heller versus the District of Columbia and similar cases. I urge you to vote on the side of freedom and against the SAFE Act. There are three types of people in our society. There are strong-willed, able-bodied people. There are helpless sheep who let things happen around them, and there are people who prey on both. Stay away from our inalienable rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Diana Kelly, and then Laurie Spada.
Hello, I'm Diana Kelly. I'm a 16-year-old resident of the town of Ithaca, and I came here as an educational experience without the intention of speaking today. But there is an argument that I have not heard today that I think needs to be. I do not know much about the SAFE Act, but one thing I do know is that my dad's hunting shotgun, simply by the shape of its handle, may be classified as an assault weapon, depending on how the SAFE Act is interpreted. I know that many of those who own guns use them to feed their families. Venison is a healthy, organic, lean meat that can provide a staple in the diets of people who might not otherwise be able to afford something so nutritious. Taking guns away from people could take the food out of their children's mouths. And we talk about children needing, guns needing to be out of the hands of people to protect children in our schools, but we don't want anyone to starve to death either. And malnutrition is definitely a big deal. Those who can't afford another source of meat and who rely heavily on venison probably wouldn't be able to afford to go out and buy Dad a new gun to replace the one that is now illegal by the SAFE Act. And I beg you to take this into consideration when you are deciding to vote for or against it. Also, I have noticed that people talk about how ignorance on both issues is a problem. I suggest that...
One minute.
Thank you. That anyone who views, who is passionate about this enough to come to a meeting tonight, today, should go to see a hunter safety course run by the DEC. You can look them up on the DEC website. I'm actually a junior hunter safety instructor, but they teach people how to safely use guns. And most people I know who have guns keep them locked up, and they're not easily accessible to children and teenagers such as myself. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Diana. The last speaker is Laura Spada. If there's anyone else who wants to speak, they should come right now to the courthouse, the courtroom, to the chambers. After Laura, if nobody else is at the microphone, then we will take a recess.
Hello, I'm Laurie Spada. I'm from Brooktondale. I spoke at the last meeting. I wasn't going to speak at this one. I promised my husband I probably wouldn't, but now my blood pressure is a little up. So, a few things. Thank you for all the people that came and spoke today. There was a gentleman here earlier with the sunglasses. He was afraid of shaking paper. Excuse me, a lot of these people that have spoken to you today have never spoken publicly. They don't do it every day. They don't sit in an audience like you and listen to everybody. And I really appreciate them coming here and doing that today for our rights. Martha, I'm sorry that you have to be here and warn everybody about their 3 minutes and how long this is going to take. All the things that you bring up in your county board meetings are important. Normally, I don't believe you have this many people. If you have this many people, it's important to your county to listen. A lot of people have brought up, a lot of you people may not be here in 2014, who knows, or whenever your voting period is. But I think it's very important that all the people that spoke today had a reason to speak. I listened to Mr. Eggman say there isn't enough paper or publicity on the other side of the gun issue. Every paper that I read is 90% liberal. The city is 90% liberal. All of a sudden, something that was going to make all these gentlemen and ladies come out and speak about guns, that's their issue. There's something that actually got people off their couch. Bloomberg took away soda in New York City. Apparently, it didn't bother anybody because the law is still there. Cool. Apparently, he didn't have a lot of people come to their committee meetings and say, hey, we want our soda.
1 minute.
But I just want to thank everybody that came out here today with their shaking papers. I'm sorry the gentleman was nervous that he had to sit out there with people applauding of what was said today. But that's what happens in the public. Maybe he shouldn't leave Trumansburg. But I just, again, I want to thank you all for listening. I'm sorry that you've had a couple long weeks of all these meetings, but it's important to a lot of the people that are here. So thank you for your time, and I want to thank everybody for speaking on either side, but for all the people that are not public speakers that came out in the last two meetings. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lauren. Anyone else? Yes. State your name or where you live.
May I? Yeah, my name is Bill Demo. I live in the city of Ithaca, and I was actually here 2 weeks ago and had some prepared remarks at that time, and then I went to the Public Safety Committee meeting and heard some things there that kind of interested me. Basically, I'm here to say that I think you should vote to support the intent of the SAFE Act with the provision that it needs some degree of addressing some areas that probably need to be better clarified, need to be fixed, however you want to characterize it. But please don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think you should follow the example of Connecticut, which seems to be following the example of New York State, and pass a sensible gun law. This is not about taking somebody's right to hunt away. This is not about taking shotguns, rifles, handguns, or whatever. This is simply about public safety issue, and the intent of the law, the intent of the law is to save lives. And what I'm hearing today reminds me a little bit, particularly in terms of the way it gets couched and the whole thing about, you know, the tyranny of the nanny state and so on. It reminds me of the protests that we used to hear from car makers when we wanted to make cars safer. We wanted to put seat belts in cars and we wanted to have airbags in cars and said, oh, you can't do that. You know, abrogating individual freedom, it's adding tremendous to the cost, you're going to run us out of business. It's the same thing the cigarette makers did, the tobacco companies did about, you know, 40, 50 years ago. Oh, you can't put messages like that on cigarettes. You can't tax it that much because you'll run us out of business and it's a violation of freedom. Well, I'll tell you, I'd rather have the tyranny of the nanny state than the tyranny of the gun. And I just see, in terms of the discussions that you want to have about guns, about meaningful restrictions on gun violence, the answer to gun violence is always more guns, and I just don't think it makes any sense, and it's hard to have a dialogue with people who have that point of view. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the legislature? Yes.
Yes, my name is Rocco Luceni. I'm from the town of Ulysses. I'd just like to make a very quick point that was only mentioned once here tonight, and that is that there were 5 total gun murders committed with a rifle in the year 2011. Now, that should end the debate, and I hope it does because we've been here for a while. But, you know, 5 total gun murders in the year of 2011. How much are we willing to sacrifice our freedom over 5 people? Obviously, every individual is important. However, more people were killed by strangulation last year, or in 2011, rather, than were killed by rifles. More people were killed by the sun in the summer than were killed by rifles. Ask yourselves here today, are you really willing to sacrifice the rights of the people, the rights of the masses, many of whom own guns, something like 34% in the nation now own guns, sacrifice their rights for something so little, for something so few? I believe very strongly in the Second Amendment. I believe very strongly in our right to bear arms. I also acknowledge that we need to have laws that protect people when there is a public risk. However, when we come up here and we hear people talking about all this violence, all this potential killing, and all these people who have been hurt by rifles, and then you find out that 5 people in the entire state were killed by rifles in 2011, I think it makes the entire argument a little ridiculous. I strongly urge all of you to support Representative McKenna's bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocco. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the legislature? All right. Well, with that, I just want to make a remark or two, and then we're going to take a break. I will tell you that, Lori, I think Mr. Hertzler's comment about handshaking was with respect about how deeply people feel these issues, and it is on both sides, and it was no sort of put down about that people were nervous or weren't good public speakers. I think we've all witnessed over these weeks a tremendous amount of very intelligent commentary, almost entirely very respectful and very, very heartfelt, and I want to thank everyone for coming and whoever might be watching on the public access television, but I think this is, and the folks who've written to us and made phone calls, et cetera, this is something we take very seriously. We are not in any way bothered by having such a lot of time spent on the public comment. I'm just trying to make sure that we could be as efficient as possible. But with that, I think we need a little bit of a break. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and I would ask legislators all to be back in their seats at 8 o'clock. Thank you.